I want to, I know if you saw in the announcement video, if you heard Gianna's voice during the announcements, maybe you missed it, maybe you didn't, but I just want to go over it again. This coming Friday, did everyone catch what's happening this Friday? Not enough, people. I hear a few of it. Saugerties has a baseball team. They're a minor league team, right, they'd say? The Saugerties Stallions. So they have invited us. They've created this Kingsfire Church Night. It's going to be Friday, 7 o'clock. That's the 28th. And if you wear any kind of Kingsfire Church apparel, you get in for free. That's your admission. So if you don't have any Kingsfire apparel, you should get some before you leave today so you can get in for free. And then you can wear it, you know, the rest of the time. You don't have to just wear it once to the baseball game. You can wear it out and about like Gil always does every day, right? But it's going to be an awesome time. I really would like to have an awesome group of people there. Like, I'd love to have 100, 150 of us be there and be present at this game like we've had for the parade and a few weeks ago in July, the July 4th parade. And we're going to be, as you heard in the video, there's going to be some kind of dance battle between Lloyd, our mascot, and the Stallion mascot. That should be interesting. So if nothing else, if you're not into baseball, come for that. We're going to be singing the national anthem. Lloyd's going to throw out the first pitch. It's going to be a good time. So bring out kids, bring out friends, bring out family. It's a baseball game, and it's going to be awesome to be there. So this wasn't our idea. Just want to let you know that we're having an impact on the community because this was Saugerties Stallion's idea. They came to us and said, hey, we'd like to have this for you guys. We'd like to do a Kingsfire night. So I just want to let you know, this wasn't our plan. This wasn't our idea. This was their idea. And so we want to just have an awesome group of people show up and just have a wonderful time. And I want to speak this morning about God's presence and God's presence through us. So I want to just encourage you that your presence there will make a difference. It won't be the same without you. If you stay home, it'll be different, I promise. So please come out and just share an awesome time of fellowship. So we have to believe that God's presence changes the atmosphere, correct? And so that our presence, because the Holy Spirit resides in us, dwells in us, as Dan shared this morning during the worship time, our presence somewhere also changes the atmosphere because he lives inside of us, because his Spirit dwells within us. And so I want to go over some of the ways that his presence has changed over time if we look through the Word. So if we think about the Garden of Eden, right, before the fall of man, before the Adam and Eve ate from the tree that they were not supposed to, God was present, right? Probably not necessarily maybe in human form, that's not clear, but at least his voice was there, his voice was present, because we have a clue here in Genesis, says this, that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. So if they could hear the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, he was at least present in some real way, right? That's what leads me to believe. So we know what happens after that. They eat from this tree, the knowledge of good and evil that they're not supposed to. They become separated from God. His presence changed, right? He was no longer going to be the same way present as he was before the fall happens. So how did his presence change? Well, now when God needs to get a message across, he gets it across through somebody. Some faithful follower of him, like Moses, he talks through a burning bush. Or other ways, he has to communicate the Ten Commandments to Moses, so he has a way to communicate with him, but he's not present in the same way. Exodus 33:15 says this. This is kind of a different way of saying it. It's paraphrased from the scripture. Lord, if your presence is not with me, this is Moses talking, then I'm not going anywhere. I won't take a single step unless I'm assured you're with me. So Moses, so hungry for the presence of God, so thirsty for the presence, he's saying, Lord, if you're not with me, I don't want to go. If you're not there, I don't want to go there. I want you to be with me all the time. I want you to be by my side. I want to know that you're there. And so what happens after that? There's kind of a next phase after he's speaking to a few people in that way, getting across, getting done what he needs to do, putting things in order the way he needs to be done. There's a temple or the Ark of the Covenant. Right, there's a veil over his presence, and it's, as Dan mentioned during the worship, that it's physically transported around the land, and wherever it actually physically is, that's where his presence is, right? We all remember this? And so what happens during that? Only certain people can approach this ark, can approach his presence. You have to, the priests that are going to go in there, even, you know, the so-called the highest people that are supposed to be closest to God, they have to make sure that they themselves are absolutely right as far as sin before they're going to go in there. They have to bring sacrifices. They even, wouldn't they tie a belt around their waist? So if they went in and they happened to not have all their sins straightened out or not do the right sacrifices, not do the right stuff, then they would just die in there in the presence of God, because you can't be in the presence of God and have any kind of thing left out there that's not supposed to be. So that's the way his presence was during that time. And then what happens? This is the exciting part where we're gonna stay for a little while. Jesus. Because God sees that, you know, this is not his plan. This is just a temporary thing, that his presence is gonna move in an ark and be veiled. He wants his presence to be revealed. So how does he do it? Through his son. Jesus Christ comes to earth, right? He's fully God, yet at the same time, he's fully human. He's 100% human. There was no shortcuts taken. There was no, he started as a baby, right? Like the Christmas story, he started as a baby. There was nothing. He didn't start out as a 30-year-old and just appear on the planet. No, he was born through Mary. He came to this earth. And so at the same time, there's some things that Acts 3:34 says, that God gave him his spirit without measure. So God's spirit is in Jesus. Colossians 1:19 says that in him being Jesus, all fullness dwells. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good. So he was subject, obviously being human, he's subject to humanity, right? He can really only be in one place at one time. There was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was no Instagram at the time. His message went viral for the time that he was on the earth, but it didn't go viral like it would today, right? If Jesus was on this earth today, and he did the same things that he did then, it'd be all over the place, right? It'd be all over the news, but really, it went viral for the people of the time, but he was still only concentrated on actually a small part of the world, if you think about it. There was a whole other world out there that probably didn't hear his message until the disciples got going, right? And so he is only one man. He can only reach so many people, but he did an awesome work. He talked to crowds. He went to houses. He talked to people one-on-one. It was peer-to-peer. But he was limited by walking, by boats, right, by other probably small means of transportation. And so there's got to be a new plan, right? That's not going to work out forever either, because the message that God wants to get out of his gospel, the message of his son Jesus, it's got to spread to more people, right? And so for that to happen, we know that Jesus is crucified, and that's not the end, though. His presence lives on, right? His presence continues on. It goes on, and how does it happen? Jesus is prophesying this to us in John 14. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Luke 11:13 says this, If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so I think we all agree that the plan of salvation, Jesus' sacrifice for us, so if we believe in him, if we confess that he is the Son of Jesus, that he died for our sins, that we can have him in our hearts, he takes out our heart of stone, puts in a heart of flesh, what an awesome plan, right? That's the way to the Father, that a perfect man who lived a perfect life and was wrongfully killed, through belief in him, we all have eternal life, if that's our confession, if that's our belief. But also that it wasn't the end of his presence, right? That wasn't it, because it would be sad if he went away and we'd have to wait till eternity to be with God to have an experience of his presence like we had it this morning. Did you feel his presence this morning through the worship? Did you feel a touch? I hope that you're not going to leave the same way that you came in, because otherwise, I don't know, I want to be different. When I come in here and then when I walk out, I want to be the same person. I want to be closer to God. I want to know him more. I want to get some kind of revelation, some kind of word. Come on, we're all in a place where we need to hear something from God. We're all in a place where maybe we need to make a decision and we need to hear from the Holy Spirit. We need to hear from God about which way to go, about which way to turn. We all have things on our plate that are not just for us to decide in our own human head, right? We need help. We need assistance. And he's called right here our Helper. And sometimes we forget that he wants to help us. But he wasn't just going to go away and ascend to the Father and we just have to wait another, what, a whole lifetime, 70, 80, 90 years on this earth. We hear all about him every Sunday and then we have to wait to experience his presence. Thank God that's not the way that it happens, right? That we can experience his presence anytime we call because his presence dwells within us. It lives inside of us. And what a brilliant plan to spread the message of the gospel, right? Before it was just, it's reserved to basically one guy, Jesus. The disciples didn't do a whole lot of preaching and teaching while Jesus was on the earth, right? They did just mostly a lot of following. They were learning themselves. They were the ones being taught. They were the ones being preached to, but they watched. They watched what Jesus did. And then when Jesus ascends, now it's up to the disciples to go and do what they're going to do, right? Isn't it awesome to think about that? You know, if we're all, we all have family trees, we can all trace things back. But everybody here this morning is in this building because more than likely a friend or a family member invited you here at some point. Maybe you found the church on the internet. Praise God, that's happening a lot. Our church is easy to find on there. And we positioned ourselves to be able to do that. But more than likely, most people come to knowing Christ, to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because of somebody else. Because somebody else told them about Jesus, someone else invited them to church, a friend or a family. That's the way connections are made the most, right? Through other people. If you look through all these, anybody in a lot of those Facebook garage sale groups, free stuff groups, come on, I know, I'll admit it. I see you people when you post stuff on there. Some of you probably saw I posted something yesterday, a printer, because whenever, if you're in the same group, then whenever someone else that's your friends would post something there, oh, this person posted this for sale, I see, oh, what's Chris Fatone selling today, or what's Jay Williams got, or Karen is trying to hustle out there in the Facebook groups today. I see the stuff out there. But more than that, and if you're in any of the community type groups, what do people do all the time besides sell stuff? Everybody asks for a recommendation constantly. I'm new to the area. I want to go find a doctor. Who's the best? I want to find a dentist. Who's the best one? Who do you recommend? I need this work done on my house. I need this done on my lawn. Who's the best? Everyone wants the opinion of others. Sometimes it's the worst place to ask for an opinion. You can ask a question out there about some big decision of life, and I see people put out there. It's also can be the worst place to ask a question like that because you don't know the quality and the character of the person that's answering you, that's giving you the answer to your question. So for certain questions like relationship, finance, maybe you should ask someone who you know has got life in order in that area and ask them instead of just broadcasting it out to the crowd. But for things like that, people ask. I don't see too many people asking for churches, but people go at the recommendation of other people, is what I'm trying to say. People are pointing the direction of other people. And so, what an awesome plan to have the Holy Spirit reside in believers and all of us here this morning who believe. Because now it's not just to one man, Jesus. The presence isn't confined to just one man or one temple, one ark. If it's in 150 people on here this morning, then we all know at least one other person, right? It's double. There's multiplication effect. In effect, all of us are probably leading 10 to 12 people in one way or another, children, family, people at work. And so therefore, the Holy Spirit's also present when we are, right? So what I was trying to go down the road to say is most of us can trace, we could trace all of our salvation back to one of the disciples if we really thought about it, if we really went back far enough. You know, my parents told me about Jesus, their parents told them, and how far does it go back? Eventually you're going to hit the disciples, right? It has to. They were the ones left. They were the 12 left on this earth after Jesus. Presence matters. When you're deciding whether to go to things, like this baseball game, like a parade, I promise you that it won't be the same without you there. Yeah, Jesus will still manifest. Jesus will get done what he needs to do. But if you're not there, if you're not bringing him with you because he lives inside of you, things will be different without you there, I promise. It won't be the same. We get invited to things, right? Everyone gets invited to weddings from time to time, to birthday parties, or you invite people to those things, right? You request the presence of somebody else, or someone else requests the presence of you to be at the celebration, to be at this wedding, to be at this union, whatever it may be. And so maybe sometimes you're invited out of obligation, or you feel like you have to invite, you know, Aunt so-and-so because otherwise your parents are going to be upset or your grandparents are going to be upset. Sometimes you got to invite people just because it's the right thing to do, right? But most of the time, hopefully, you're inviting them because you want their presence there, because their presence there matters to you in some way, that it means something to you that these people are there. That's why whenever there's a wedding, it's a celebration, right? You want to have witness to this event. You want to say, hey, be there on my special day. Be there. Let me watch me be committed to this person in front of God and in front of my family and friends, right? And so if think about if you were to go to a wedding and there'd just be nobody there. It happens if you're in a situation where you want to get married quick in front of a justice of the peace. But usually even after that, there's some kind of other celebration, right? There's at least a reception down the road or something. There's something that happens. There's a presence of people to share in this celebration, right? Unfortunately, it goes to the other side too, a funeral. Sometimes we go to a funeral out of respect for the family, out of just having known them throughout their life, that you go there out of respect. But also, I hope you go there because you know that your presence there as a believer will change something in that atmosphere. You'll bring some kind of light to a situation that's horrible, or maybe it's not even to a funeral, but to a hospital bedside. You want to go somewhere and lift the atmosphere, change things around, right? Because our presence as believers who the Holy Spirit dwells in changes things. Carrie, my wife and I, Carrie, who's downstairs now, we're getting ready to do the 10:45 Sunday school class. It seems weird to say now, but we met online. This was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, it wasn't as commonplace to do that now. We met online. She's from Illinois. I'm from New York. And so at the time, I had to widen the applicant pool. There was not as many folks to choose from. Where I lived in Herkimer, New York, very small place at the time, before I moved down here. So the point is that we talked online for a while. We talked on the phone. But there comes a point where you've got to go. You've got to meet in person and see if this presence, if it is something or not, right? Now it seems commonplace, but 10 years ago, trying to meet her parents, meet her father, it was a different world. It's totally shifted. Now I think, probably half of relationships start online. Everyone's just swiping left, swiping right on the phone. It's a totally different landscape. But 10 years ago, this was a little more tricky. And so we've made trips even recently to go to funerals out of state because we believe that our presence there would change things. Yeah. It's been painful. It's been difficult to do these things, to make trips like that. But when you have a belief that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you and you can bring a light to a place and that your presence will change things there, then you go. You do things that are uncomfortable, right? There's also the flip side, right? I should mention this in talking about all the good parts about the presence, but there's also times, even as believers, that we probably need to exclude the presence of other people, right? There's people that can bring us down, that can change the atmosphere for us in a negative way. I'll give you a perfect example in Acts 9:36, right? This is Peter. It says this, "At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. The woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there. And they sent two men imploring him not to delay in the coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Verse 40 says this, "But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive." Did you catch what he did before he prayed? It says that he put everybody out. These widows and these people who were just mourning, he didn't feel that they were faithful, that they were going to bring the kind of faith in that room to be present that he needed to say, "Lord, I need this woman alive." There's times that we have to put people out of our life maybe for a season. That's okay. If you've got someone bringing you down, it's okay to put them out for a while. It's okay to tell them, "You know what? We're not going down the same path here. We're not going down the same road. You're not uplifting me. You're not bringing up my faith. In fact, you're bringing me down." You can say that in a way that is respectful, and it's probably only going to be a temporary thing, but that's okay. Listen, doors have locks, fences have backyards for a reason. There's a time to keep people out and to keep things safe, to guard our hearts, right? The scripture calls us to do that, to guard our hearts. And so that's what Peter does. It's not always just including people. Sometimes you've got to put people out who are not on the same level that you are, who are not of the same faith that you are, because it doesn't glorify God. And so we just have to remember that we are carriers of his Holy Spirit, God's presence. And so, listen, if you were to go to work tomorrow and carry somebody in, it's going to be very noticeable, especially if they're another grown adult. People are going to look at you real different. Even if I were to bring in my five-month-old Lauren, who's like 20-plus pounds at this point, people are going to look at me like, what are you doing carrying someone else into work? When a woman carries, when she's pregnant, it becomes obvious at a certain point, right? And so being a carrier of the Holy Spirit, it's not as physically obvious, but at the same time, there should be a physical characteristic about carrying the Holy Spirit. There should be a countenance to our face, a joy that comes to our face. There should be some smiles, hopefully, some laughter, some joy, because we know that the Holy Spirit, that is presence, brings fullness of joy, brings happiness. And so we're called to be a light, right? The parades that we go and do in Saugerties and Kingston, they're different now that we're a part of them. They're not the same parade anymore. At least when we go by, the atmosphere when we go by, I'm not trying to say that we're like the ark going by, but we are God's presence. Things change. I've seen the people's faces before we come by and when we're going by. It's different. Come on, other people are kind of going by with a tape of something, and it's nice. There's a school band, but we come by with our float that's totally decked out with a live band on with a bunch of people smiling, handing out free stuff. There's an atmosphere change in a big way. Come on, if you haven't noticed that, look next time we do one of those things. It's totally different. It changes the air. People are smiling as well. They take on the atmosphere that we bring. This baseball game that's coming next Friday is not going to be like the other baseball games. I've never been to one of these Saugerties baseball games, and I don't know if maybe you have either, but I can guarantee you this game Friday is going to be different than all the others have been. Why? Because we're bringing in a bunch of people who have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them. His presence is going to be there because we're going to be there. We've never thrown out the first pitch before. One of our people hasn't sung the national anthem there before. Lloyd hasn't been there before to do a dance battle. I'm telling you, it's going to be different than all the other games. I don't know how it's going to be different. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to be there. We have to visit some family out of state. But I want to hear how it was different from you guys when I come back. And so just think about that. If you don't, he lives inside of us, right? We carry him. So if we don't show up, then he's not there. Listen, God can do what he wants to do. If he needs something to happen, he'll get it done. Paul was brought to God by a miracle, right? God came down, spoke to him, his voice. There was a light that came down. If God needs to do something, if he needs to get somebody to him, we know our former pastor, Pastor Vaughn, who's passed, he had a miraculous encounter in a forest in Florida with God. There was no one else there besides, I believe, his wife. But there was no one preaching to him at the time. When God needs to do something, he'll get it done. But most of the time, he uses us. So if we're not there, then his presence probably isn't going to be there. That's a serious thing to keep in mind when you're thinking about going to something or showing up somewhere that you feel. You know when you feel that pull that you should be somewhere, that you should go do something? That's the pull of the Holy Spirit. We've got to be obedient to that pull when we feel those. I think you guys know what I'm talking about. We've got to discern those kinds of pulls. They're not just there for just butterflies in your stomach. Thank you, Jesus. One more scripture. I want to just share. This is from Acts 3. This is the miracle at the gate called Beautiful. This is after Jesus has ascended. And now it's really on the disciples to do this thing or not do this thing. And so they really come through in Acts 3. This is Peter and John. It says this. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, asked for money. And fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones strengthened. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So here's a guy who is It says lame from his from birth. From the time he was born, he was with this condition. Can't walk, can't stand up even. And he was laid by this gate every single day. That was just where his probably his parents put him, hoping to get some extra money. And he just begged there all day for money. And so how many times, I assume this is a temple that Peter and John, other people went to all the time. How many times did they probably just walk by this guy and just not pay any attention or just move on with, you're going into a temple to pray, but this guy somehow usually probably ignored on the way in. Kind of sad. But you ever get that point, maybe we've done the same thing to people. Maybe we've just hurt, maybe in a different way. I don't think we've passed too many lame people probably at this point. But maybe you just pass somebody who's always complaining about something at work. Or maybe you just have a family member who's just in a bad place. You just get to that point where you just say, you know what? I'm a believer in God. I'm a carrier of the Holy Spirit. That's enough. Enough is enough. Let's see if we can do something about this. I believe that's the place that Peter and John were in. They say, you know what? Jesus ascended. This is up to us now. We're going to see if Jesus is going to work through us like he said it would. We've watched him. We've learned everything there is to learn. Let's practically play us out here and let's do this thing. And so that's what they did. Peter, what's the first thing he says? Look at us. He tells the guy, look. Look at us. And he does. He looks at them. They notice there was, I think the guy probably noticed there was something different about Peter and John. Because I imagine most people just walking by probably just tossed some change at him, tossed some money at him. Probably didn't look at him in the eye even. It's important to look people in the eye, I think. And she says, you know what? We don't have any money to give you, but we do have something for you. See, he wasn't asking for anything but money, was he? He was just asking for money. He was just begging for something. I think he probably reached the point in his life where being healed probably wasn't even on the radar anymore. He probably thought, you know what? This is the way I've been since birth. This is just the way it's going to be. You know, there's a lot of people in that place that this is just, they've accepted whatever it is that, whatever condition of life that they're in, whether it be a sickness they have, whether it be a disease they have, whether it be an injury they have, whether it be a bad relationship they're in, whether it be the debt that they're in, whatever kind of mess that a person's in. Some people have just accepted that, you know what, that's just the place I'm going to be. That's my lot in life. What a horrible confession to have. And so, you know, sometimes people don't know what they need. They're shooting low instead of aiming for, why not go for the top, you know? Why not go for the miracle? Why not go for the big thing? Why just aim low for just asking for a few bucks? And so sometimes people just don't have the vision for what it is that they truly need. They need us to bring them the vision, the miracle that could happen for their lives. It needs to come through us, even if it doesn't actually happen. Maybe just speak it forth. Begin to increase their faith. Begin to just open up their eyes to expand their vision. You know, sometimes you've probably heard the thing just in relation to that, that if it wasn't for Henry Ford, he might just be going around with faster horses these days. Because that's what they were after. They were just saying, you know what? A car wasn't even on the radar. Sometimes it takes someone else to bring a vision. You know what? There's got to be a better way than just going on horses all the time. Steve Jobs was the same way. If you think about, if it wasn't for him, we could still just be on more advanced flip phones and Blackberries. He had a vision for something else that just wasn't in on the radar at all. Sometimes people just don't know what they don't know. And so Jesus gave the disciples authority as well, right? The Holy Spirit, his presence gives us an authority. I also like to use the word license. I used it a few weeks ago, I believe, at the second service during the end of worship, that he's given us license to act on his behalf, to be his ambassadors, to be his feet and his hands on this earth. And so when I say the word license, I like that because it means authority as well. Now, when I turned 16 and got my permit, I was there on my 16th birthday. I'm sure a lot of the guys did the same thing. Ladies sometimes wait a little bit longer. But I know at least maybe it's changed now. Maybe no one cares as much about driving. But I know for me, and for anybody who loves cars as a young kid, you were there on your 16th birthday when they opened up. You're taking the test. You've studied through the book. You're going to get this thing done. Then you're probably, hopefully, if you can convince your parents, you're going to drive the car on the way home, which is a little risky. Maybe you should probably just go to a large parking lot first. But the point is, whether you get a license to drive, whether you get a license to cut hair, to get a handgun, if you go to get a handgun license, you've actually got to buy the firearm before they actually give you the license, right? Because they got to put the number on the back. But a marriage license, The point is, no one sits on a license. No one just does nothing with it. If you get a license to do something, then you go out and do it. No one just sits on it, puts it on a plaque at home and says, well, look at that. There's my license. Maybe someday I'll go out and drive. I got my permit. I'm going to frame that thing. Maybe someday I'll get behind the wheel. I think your wife would be, your fiance if you didn't do anything. If you put your marriage license on the wall, that you got this application to get married, you put that application on the wall, and boys, you just look at it. Someday, honey, we're going to get married. We're going to turn that application into the license. I don't think it'd be very good for your relationship, right? I don't think that'd be very well. When you go to get a license for something, you go and act on it. You do something about it. And so, what is God said that we can do with this Holy Spirit presence? What did he say in John 14:12? He says this: most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. That's an incredible statement right there. We could just end it right there and not read on. It'd be incredible. That he who believes in me, those who believe in Jesus, the works that he has done, we will do also. Listen, folks, I don't know about you, but he's done plenty of works that I haven't done yet. Let's be honest. But then it says this: and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. See, he had to leave so that we can do some greater works, so that the Holy Spirit can dwell inside of us. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What an awesome reality that he's given us this authority, this license to say, you know what? We can act on his behalf. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We're his carriers. So wherever we go, wherever we put our feet, folks, we've got to believe that wherever we go, that place, that situation, that environment, that house, that workplace, the vacation, wherever it is, the funeral, the wedding, the birthday party, that place is somehow better because you're there. Because you put your two feet there, you've got to believe that it's better. You've got to start confessing that in the morning before you go somewhere, before you go off. You know what? Today's going to be different because I'm there, and not because of my physical body being there, but because of he who lives inside of me. That's the game changer. That's the difference. We've got to start believing that. Start confessing good things over your day, over your life. That even yourselves, maybe you need a healing in your own body. That you know what, my body is going to be healed because he lives inside of me. That's a pretty close connection right there. Thank you, Jesus. He's given us authority, folks. He's given us license. There's nothing that he hasn't given to us. We just have to exercise it. We just have to use it. We just have to not be afraid. We've got to take some steps. We're going to go to this baseball game. Who's going to go? Come on. Yeah. Invite some more people. It's a great, come on, folks. I think it's a lower bar than asking someone to go to a church on a Sunday morning. It's a Friday evening baseball game. You can probably have time afterwards to go out and grab some ice cream. It can be a fun time. But just believe that wherever you touch your two feet, that joy is going to be brought, healing is going to be brought. Things are going to be different, folks. Things are going to be different. We've got to start believing that. Why don't we just stand this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for this morning, Father. We thank you for each and every day that you give to us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you haven't left us to ourselves, that you haven't left us alone. But even though you send it to the Father, you haven't left us, Lord, to ourselves, but you've given us, Father, a Holy Spirit. Part of the triune, Father, that there's you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're not afar off either, Lord Jesus, but you dwell inside of each and every believer that believes in your name, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that we felt your presence here this morning. Lord, help us to understand, Lord, your presence, Lord, and just feel you in a tangible way, Father God. But Lord, as Dan said this morning, that even if we don't feel anything, Lord Jesus, we have to have the knowledge, we have to have the knowing, Lord, that you are there, even though if it seems like you're not. I'm just reminded of what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said when they were inside that fiery furnace. They said, Lord, help us. We know that you can save us, Lord. But even if we don't feel you, even if you don't save us, even if you don't take us out of that situation, we're not going to confess any other king. So let that be true for us also, that even if we don't necessarily feel your presence, Lord, let us have the knowing, let us just have the confidence that your presence is with us is always unchanging, Father God. Doesn't leave us, doesn't forsake us. Oh, Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, that you've given us everything, that you've held nothing back from us, Lord Jesus. You've given us everything. You've given us your Son. You've given us the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you would just touch us in a tangible way this morning. Father, you're just so good. You're just so good. There's nothing good but goodness that comes from you. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy. Father, I pray as we go about our week, Lord, that every place we touch, Father, we would just have a belief, have a knowledge that things are going to be changed because we're there, not because we're going to boast in ourselves, but we're going to boast in who you are and what you've done for us and the way that you've changed our lives, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just thank you that you are a good confession, that you are Father, that you are Savior, that you are King. You are everything, Father. There's no plan B. You are plan A. We just love you so much, Lord Jesus. We love you with everything we have. We thank you, Lord, for changing us, for speaking to us. Lord, if there's someone that needs a word, Father, that needs a touch, Lord, I pray that you would just give them what they ask, Lord Jesus. Point them in the direction, Father. Use someone else to speak to them, Lord. Use a pastor. Use a believer. Use a scripture, Father God, that they turn to. Use a song. Use a prayer, Father, whatever it may be, Lord. We know that you touch hearts still in 2017, Lord Jesus. We know that you're alive, that you're well, and that you love your children. So we love you back this morning. We say thank you, and we love you so much. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus.